And now for reading and writing and radio.
White Feather brushed through the willows to the clearing. She stood a minute by the wigwam, crumbling a brown leaf between her fingers, and then sat down. The grass was damp on her bare legs. Sugarpuss nibbled a fallen mulberry and came and lay beside her. Her flank was warm and coarse. White Feather pulled her cylinder ears gently. The goat gave a little burp as her cud rose into her mouth and began chewing. Over the lake, a tiny wisp of wind stirred the mirror calmness, and the sky glowed orange beyond the far ridge of black trees. Behind her, the swamp came to life. She heard a splash, maybe a turtle, and nearby the great galump of a frog. Another frog answered, and then a whole chorus chimed in from every bank. The cricket's high cry pulsated. A fish plopped out in the lake. She heard a faint shout calling her, but she didn't answer. A June bug bumbled by her ear. She sat contentedly. This was the moment she had been waiting for, all day, all winter, to be by herself, silent, surrounded with the sight and feel and sound and smell of the sky blue water.
The author of Those Silent Thoughts was Jacqueline Jackson, but it could be you. WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Marcy, with her Indian name White Feather, was having an experience of stillness, of silence, in the passage from the Paleface Redskins that I read in the opener. We usually think of silence and stillness connected with night, or with night things, like moths or cats that go walking at night. One of our favorite poems is Silver by Walter Delamere. Slowly, silently, now the moon walks the night in her silver shoon. This way and that she peers and sees silver fruit upon silver trees. One by one the casements catch her beams beneath the silvery thatch. Couched in his kennel, like a log, with paws of silver sleeps the dog. From their shadowy coat, the white breasts peep of doves in a silver-feathered sleep. A harvest mouse goes scampering by with silver claws and silver eye, and moveless fish in the water gleam by silver reeds in a silver stream. Carl Sandburg in Fog, a poem you all know, the fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city on silent haunches and then moves on. And Green Moth by Winifred Wells. The night the green moth came for me, a creamy moon poured down the hill. The meadow seemed a silver sea. Small pearls were hung in every tree, and all so still, so still. He floated in on my white bed, a strange and soundless fellow. I saw the horns wave on his head. He stepped across my pillow in tiny ermine boots and spread his cape of green and yellow. He came so close that I could see his golden eyes, and sweet and chill his faint breath wavered over me. "Come, child, my beautiful," said he, and all so still, so still. All those poems evoke quietness, silence. We aren't often silent. It's harder and harder to be silent because we're living in a world of so much noise. We're beginning to hear about noise pollution and decibels and effects on our ears, the effects of too much noise on our ability to concentrate. There was a great educator named Maria Montessori who lived quite a while ago. Her work was coming into prominence over 50 years ago. And she was aware of the power of silence, of the value of silence, not of something that is outwardly imposed by somebody else, but inwardly given by yourself, the desire to be silent, the need to be silent. And she made some games that she played with her school children that she called silent games. I call the children's attention to myself, telling them to see how silent I can be. She's working with quite young children, younger than you, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds. I assume different positions, standing, sitting, and maintain each pose silently, without movement. A finger moving can produce a noise, even though it be imperceptible. We may breathe so that we may be heard, but I maintain absolute silence, which is not an easy thing to do. I call a child and ask him to do as I am doing. He adjusts his feet to a better position, and this makes a noise. He moves an arm, stretching it out upon the arm of his chair. It is a noise. His breathing is not altogether silent. It is not tranquil, absolutely unheard as mine is. During these maneuvers on the part of the child, and while my brief comments are followed by intervals of immobility and silence, the other children are watching and listening. Many of them are interested in the fact, which they have never noticed before, namely that we make so many noises of which we are not conscious, and that there are degrees of silence. There is an absolute silence where nothing, absolutely nothing, moves. They watch me in amazement when I stand in the middle of the room, so quietly that it is really as if I were not. Then they strive to imitate me and to do even better. And she goes on, describing how the room gradually becomes more and more quiet, more and more silent, as they practice this game of seeing how silent they can be. And then when they achieve perfect, absolute, total silence, they darken the room, and Maria Montessori would go into another room and there very quietly breathe the name of one child. And that child would get up and go as quietly as possible into the other room. It sounds like a very simple sort of game, but one that she said brought immense pleasure to everyone that was playing it. I wonder if a certain school in Paris was aware of Maria Montessori and her work when they had every year a day that they called the Day of Silence. I heard this from a friend of mine who taught in that school for several years. This was a day where no one said anything, except the secretary behind the closed door in the office who had to answer the telephone. But teachers, janitors, principal, and students came to school that day and said not one word. School went on as usual. They had their classes, they had their lessons. The teachers taught by pantomime. The kids joined into the spirit of the day by wearing tennis shoes or slippers or quiet-type clothing. And Mary said that on that day of silence, she became aware of many things. The school took on a totally different aspect. She heard, and she knew that the students were hearing noises that they had never noticed before. Everybody seemed to have time for a lot more thinking. They learned to gain the attention of each other in a variety of ways, and then they would continue communicating by various sorts of body language, smiles, looks, gestures, touching. Movements became relaxed and quieter. The whole pace slowed down. Everyone noticed more with their eyes, as well as with their ears. Their whole body, their whole senses seemed to become more alert when their mouths became silent. Mary said she learned a great deal about herself. First, that she couldn't get along without talking. And then, as the day wore on, that she was able to transcend speech, that a great deal could be done without speech, and certain things could be done that couldn't be done when speech was going on. What I'm proposing for all of you is to have that revealing experience. If you can't persuade your principal to have the whole school have a day of silence, and it might be fun for the whole school, why not have your class have a day of silence? Agree on the day, and then everyone come and don't talk. See what happens. I suggest that one thing you don't do, or don't let your teacher do, is to turn the whole day into written assignments, where the assignment is put on the board and you spend your whole time doing arithmetic problems and reading and so forth, things that don't necessitate communication. I suggest that you spend a considerable part of the day exploring alternative means of communication, or in thinking, in wandering, in experimenting with silence. You know, the way our schools often are, it seems to me, is that we don't give much time for thinking. A question is asked, an answer is expected. For someone to take several minutes to ponder, do we include pondering time in school? I don't recall that there was much pondering time when I was in school. Maybe a silent day would allow us to have a little more time to ponder. I think that you'd all need to enter into the spirit of the thing, but I think that this is possible. Mary said when she heard about it, she assumed that everybody would be silly, that they would come and carry on in foolish sorts of ways. But she said this wasn't true, that there was an air of celebration, of joy, of quiet humor and gaiety, and that there was also a strong feeling of togetherness. We are all playing a delightful game together. And there was this nice experience that they were all having. What about the writing? The writing can come afterwards. After you've had your silent day, then write about how you felt, what experiences you had, what you learned about communication. There can also be writing during the day, because I think silence, more time to think, will give you an opportunity to write. Things will come crowding into your mind that you want to write down. You might feel like writing a poem, writing an essay, describing what's going on right while it's going on, so that there could be two opportunities then for writing. Afterwards, during, maybe even before. What you think about silence, what you think might happen if you wanted to do some writing now. We've had, in the various schools my children have been in, camping weeks where they go out into the countryside at some sort of camp and learn in the outdoors. And at these various camps, we've had what we call a green silent spot or something of that nature, where you can go off and be by yourself, thinking, writing. I think any classroom could have a green silent spot or a quiet spot or a quiet corner. The school that my girls go to right now, the big girls, they've built a sort of little closet in one corner of it with a lamp hanging down. And if someone wants to be quiet, wants to be private, he can go into that little spot and have a spot to be silent and to think. Most of us feel that we have to keep noise going, that we have to talk. I think a real test of how comfortable we feel with other people is, can we be quiet with them? Can we be silent? So I suggest, let's try getting to know it. Let's listen to the silence. Let's see if we can hear the outside sounds that we haven't been quiet enough to notice. And also, if we can listen to the inner sounds, the inner music. If we can hear the sound of the piper at the gates of dawn, if we can hear the wind in the reeds.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.